So today's date is the 25th of June, and I'm with Letty and Ray King, who live in 24
Hereford
Street,
Busby.
Okay, so what I'm going to do first is ask you both, Ray first, perhaps your date of birth and where you were born, and your full name.
My full name is Raymond King. I was born on the 13th of May, 1933, in Sydney. Other than that, I don't know too much about it.
So, do you know about your parents?
No, I don't know anything really about them. Just little bits, you know.
So you grew up, where did you grow up?
Mainly in Sydney, in the inner suburb, Moore Park, Paddington, and before I come up here, and a little bit of Bankstown. Moved around with different families, you know.
So you were a foster child?
Well, what they call a state ward.
Yes.
You know? And I went to school at Burke Street, mainly, primary, at Surrey Hills, and advanced from there to Cleveland Street High, where I finished school. And then I started an apprenticeship at Standard Waggards in 1948.
Letty, I might ask you. So, Letty, can you please tell me your date of birth and place of birth? Full name, too.
Letitia Ellen King. Born the 7th of May, 34, at Moree, which is way up north, and came to Sydney when I was 5, lived at Coogee, lived all my school years at Coogee, and then Mum and Dad moved to Maroubra, and I was only at Maroubra about 18 months or something, and I got married, moved to Paddington, lived for 10 years in Paddington, and then came up here.
Can you tell me your parents' full names, if you remember, and perhaps their date of birth?
Dad was Geoffrey Bedford, and he was born 22nd of August, 1911, I think. Yeah, 10 or 11. And Mum's the 13th of January, 1912. Both deceased. Elsie Bedford, or she was Elsie Harvey, and then she became Elsie Bedford. And Dad came from Moree, Mum came from Armidale. And what else? I went to school at St. Bridget's at Coogee. I did my whole schooling there from kindergarten right through to third form, or third year or whatever. We called it third year in those days when we did our intermediate. Then I left school, started work with York Motors for a Mr. Swarra. And met Ray, got married when I was 19. Had my first child when I was 21. And that's it. We moved up here. My eldest boy was 11. My next boy was 9. No, that can't be right. Cheryl was 5. Greg was 6. And David was 8. That's right. 8, 6 and 5. And I was expecting. I was 9 months pregnant.
What year did you move to the Valley?
We moved here in the 11th of November, 63.
In this house?
In this house.
It's on the papers on the 4th, actually, the week before. And
we moved in on the 11th.
Moved in on the, well, she didn't move in. She stayed at her mother's till the baby was born.
I was here for a week.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
Never stopped born.
Chasing the Aborigines off the front lawn.
The cows.
Cows.
Terrified because I was a city.
It was a funny feeling. great feeling, but, you know.
It's horrible. Hated it. We had no street lights. Barely had... and there was all these animals.
What sort of animals?
Cows.
The cows have been mentioned. Where were they?
Well,
dairies. The dairies right. were just over the road.
The dairies were just up in Banks Road, and Closer so the cows and the cows used to just wander around.
Well, there were no street lights or phones. Bobbin Road was the nearest
public phone.
Public phone or bus stop. No shopping centre or anything like that. It was really in the sticks.
And there was all these muddy lanes all between all the streets, and they were just mud. And the year that John was born, which was the 26th of November, we came back here. I came back here 10 days after he was born, and we had 10 days solid rain. Never stopped for 10 days.
How long had you been here when the rain hit?
A month. Yeah, we'd been here about a month. Yeah, because that was about a month because it was round about the beginning of December.
Oh. We had very little, you know, sheets up on the windows and nothing on the floor sort of thing, you know, because we came from a rented place in Paddington. We had a few sticks of furniture, but not much, you know, TV, the usual thing. And that was your life for a while. Well, you started to sort yourself out, you know.
Used to wear gumboots out in the backyard because you used to sink.
In the clay?
In the clay. It was all clay. Red, horrible clay. I can remember we got the front lawn rotary hoed and Ray put it through an old bed
to sieve the kids to try and make the
was hell on earth. But we survived.
I'm interested in exploring more about that rain period because it's come up before with some photographs that I've seen. And a lot of people have talked about that period of rain. How did you operate? Like, how did you get by day to day? Like, what was the soil like, for example? Like,
soil?
There was no grass, I assume?
No grass. We had a path. We had no path to the clothesline. We had a path from the front street to the house, and that was all the cement we had.
Driveways.
And you go out to, well, I think down near our clothesline, there's a pair of thongs still buried down there deep because, without a word of a lie, it used to go down 8 to 10 inches deep. And you'd just go out there and you didn't hang any clothes on the line anyway because it just teemed. And new baby and nappies and it was murder. And
how did you get things dry? How did you wash first? Did you have a washing machine?
Yes, I did. I was one of the lucky ones and had a washing machine. But you used to wash the nappies and that, and then you'd used to just spread them all over. You know, you had one of those clothes horse things and you couldn't move in the house for clothes. When you got four kids, you got a lot of clothes to wash and try and get dry.
We had a kerosene heater too, didn't we?
Yeah, we had an old Kero heater and we used to have
still
that.
Still got it, actually.
No, we haven't.
It's in the garage.
We used to have the kerosene heater on and it was hot. Oh, and the flies. Hundreds and thousands of flies because we had no screens. Now, I don't think the Housing Commission makes a house without screens, but we had no screens or anything. And it was hell. Yeah.
But I wouldn't swap it.
Oh, God, I would have then.
Oh, I wouldn't. No, I would not swap it.
Because you'd never hear.
So, Ray, were you working at that period of time?
I was working in town at the time, in Waterloo.
Can you describe your trip to work?
Well, I'd have to walk from here down to Bobbin Road, which is, what, I suppose about a mile, isn't it? It'd have to be. Get a bus, Oliveri bus, get to Liverpool, get a train, and either walk or get a bus from Redfern to Waterloo. I'd done that for about two or three years or 4 years, and then I got a job up here.
Who and are you working for at Waterloo, just as interesting?
Oh, the same place I served my apprenticeship with, Standard Wagons,
yeah.
Which are no longer there now.
They were down behind the glassworks.
Yeah, in the glassworks at the back of the bat and ball, you know, in that area there. And what happened then? I got a job up here, and then I sort of got another job back in town. You know, it's a roving sort of a game, our boiler making game. And eventually, I got sick of travelling, and I think I got a car. What?
You got a car when John was 3. We bought this. So
that'll be about 3 years later.
What sort of car did you buy and afford it?
An FJ Holden, and we bought it. It was
FJ
Holden, and we bought it out of Ray's tax return.
Yep.
And there was so much rust in the back seat.
Good motor, but nothing.
That we used to make the kids sit on the seat and not stand up at all because we were terrified they'd go through.
It was a good car.
But Ray never had a license because we'd never driven. We lived in Paddo. We used to hop on the bus, go to Bronte. We spent 90% of our time at Bronte Beach during the summer. And so we'd never needed a car, and Ray had no licence. And then we got this old FJ, this poor old green FJ. And it was murder.
So you used to drive to work then?
No, I got a job at Smithfield then.
Okay.
Over at Smithfield, which is not as far to go as town. And I graduated from Smithfield over to here, and I've spent basically the last 26, 27 years over at ABB. I left for a little period of time and then went back again, you know. And I've just retired after this lot about 18 years. But 27 years are all told with that mob across ABB, or used to be known as... Tyree, which are transformer people, building great big electrical current transformers and whatever, you know, as a boiler maker. And I went up the ladder there, you know, slight rises and whatever, looking after this and that. And I retired last year after 27 years over there, yeah, 18 total, you know. A couple of little odd jobs around about, close. But basically, I tried to keep within the Liverpool area to work and everything, you know, which I found was a satisfactory way to do it.
And did you buy this place here? Or
No.
What, your decisions around continuing to rent it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I could have had the opportunity to do it, and then with 4 children and all that sort of thing, you sort of... plan to buy something and something else will happen, you know, like I'll get the measles or they'll get the mumps or whatever, you know. Then there's their schooling and all this stuff. You just didn't seem to have the money at the right time, you know. And like most things in life, it comes together always at the wrong end of the spectrum, you know. Like you get long service leave when you're finished, when you should really have it when you start. In my estimation, just as a learning point, you know what I mean? We could still buy the place possibly, but we'd have first choice anyhow, you know. And if I could, I would, you know. But it'd have to be clean-cut buy, like, you know.
Were there any other men from the valley that you worked with at ABB?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Could you tell me some of their names, perhaps?
There was Lou Yudovich. Up the top here in, lived around up here, just Frisian. Down from your dad's place. Frisian Street, which is only up around the corner. There's Alan Murphy over in Shropshire Street.
Early in the piece.
Eh?
Early in the piece.
Oh, early in the piece. Oh.
Oh, yeah, whatever.
Well, they were in the last 15, 18 years.
Yeah.
Eh? Early in the piece. Oh.
Fred?
Who?
Fred.
Fred. No, Fred's only a latecomer in golfing. Not a latecomer, he's 30 years. But he didn't work with me.
He worked over at Tyree when it was Tyree.
No.
So, Letty, can I explore your work? When did you start working?
I started working when John was three. So it was 3 years after we came here. And I was only going to work for 2 years because I wanted carpet. So I was going to get a job, buy me carpet and pay it off. At Walton's. Walton's was the backbone of the valley. And
did you go to Walton's? Or did they come to you?
Oh, everybody came to you. The Metropolitan Funeral Fund, the Waltons, the rent man. Oh, and everybody came to you in those days. They used to just had a continuous stream. And
fruit and veggie man, the milkman, the baker.
Because our nearest shop was over at the halfway shops. Our nearest shops was over at we used to call it the halfway.
Elizabeth Drive.
Along Elizabeth Drive, yeah. They were our nearest shops.
Well, that was the only entrance into here too, see? In the early years. It was Elizabeth Drive, Maxwell Avenue, or Heckenberg Avenue from Elizabeth Drive, the other end, up the top end. That was the only way in here.
So
Banks Road finished, it stopped, and that was it.
So you'd have your little book and you'd write out your grocery order and give it to the bloke and he'd bring it back the next day and pay your bill. And
if you could.
The first summer, you didn't get it if you didn't. The first summer we were here, we used to have it was the most hottest summer, I think, in history, because the fruit and veggie bloke that used to come down, he used to take glory in frying eggs on the tar roadway, and he did it quite often. I think he was in the paper there at one stage of the game, frying eggs on the roads down at Green Valley, Dodge City as it used to be called. I think everybody in Dodge City owed Walton's money. We weren't any exception, and you just got everything. You couldn't slip out for a loaf of bread. I mean, if you didn't have a car.
So, well, how did you get by when you needed some bread or?
Well, I did.
You ran out of things. How did you approach that then?
You did without, and either until your husband came home or you walked to the halfway shops.
You'd pick it up in Liverpool on the way home from the Shrine, you know, if you had time, because they didn't have 24-hour shops like they got today. You know, they'd shut probably at 5-6 o'clock of an evening, places like that. I mean, even the pub shut at 6 o'clock when we came up here, you know.
So, Letty, if we just get back to your work a little.
Oh, yeah, work.
So you started working.
I worked at Betts and Company along at. The only reason I went to work was because of the carpet, and I got knock on the door asking me for a TV licence, and I didn't have one. And it was endowment day the next day, and so I went and spent my endowment buying this rotten TV licence, and I still got pinched or fined, whatever, and so I had to go to court. It was so embarrassing.
What was the issues around? What were you doing illegal?
You did have a TV and radio licence. You had to have a TV and radio licence in those days, and I didn't have one. And so I went and bought it next day, and
so if we can just go over what? It's embarrassing.
Oh yeah, that was the most embarrassing when I had to go to court because I didn't have a TV and radio license, and I was fined £75, which to me was an absolute fortune. I mean, Ray didn't even get £75 wages, so I had to ask for time to pay. So then the girl next door, she was working at this Betts and Company, and so she said, I'll see if I can get you a job. And I'd never ever worked in a factory. I'd only ever worked in offices, and so she got me this job in the factory, and it was winding copper wire for electric motors. And it was the most dreadful job. And you were there for a week and then you had to make your quota and you got a 10 shilling rise if you made your quota. I think it was 34 and 6 you were getting a week. I think it was something like that. And then you got 10 shillings rise if you made your quota. And I used to stick them in my bag because I used to mess them all up and I'd have them twisted and all the rest of it. And never made my quota in 3 months. Anyway, there was a girl wandering around the factory who was so pregnant, it wasn't funny. And so I approached one of the bosses and said, "Can I have her job when she leaves?" And that's how I came to be in the office, and I was in the office for 15 years. And it was a great job. I liked my time. I did a couple of years of telephonist, and then did the accounts and had great bosses. It was a good place, Pets. And it was part of Kirby's. We used to make the electric motors for the washing machines and fridges and all that. Then I left there and went to the start of the races.
What year was that around?
There 17 years, weren't you?
Yeah, I was there 17 years.
Up to last year.
So 17.
Like 79, 80. Yeah, around about 80, something like that, 79, 80,
now
80.
What did you do there?
The races. I was a TIM operator. That's what we used to put on our tax return. Totalisator input operator. So I just worked the machine and then I graduated to banking. I was a banker when I left. And that was banking's looking after the windows and you balance them up at the end of the day and lots of money. But I've only sort of had 2 jobs.
Anyhow, what about household? That's the best job you've ever had.
Yeah.
How did you, what sort of things did you feed your kids in those days?
Lots of mince. Yeah. I think we used to eat lots of mince. You learned.
We always had
veggies.
Full wholesome meals. I still like them even now, and I don't work.
But I think in those days,
you used to eat steak and that stuff like
very rarely had steak. But, I mean, you learnt lots and lots of ways to do mince. Rice arisa, rissoles, curried mince, all sorts of ways. You did lots of things with a pound of mince in those days. And potatoes, peas and your collie and your... Yeah, we had a disastrous time there when we decided to grow our own vegetables. We had the hardest cabbages of anybody.
Who got the best tomatoes?
They were Ray limed the ground before he planted the cabbages. So you couldn't even cut them with a carving knife. So, yeah, we had lots of experiences with trying to grow our own veggies. We weren't gardeners.
So, Ray, when did you start getting involved in sport?
Oh, right from the very first. Taking the kids to the football, soccer, rugby league.
Yeah, David was 8, so he needed to play.
So, you know, we sort of started that way with them.
Who did they play for?
Well, I think David played soccer, didn't he?
No, he didn't.
He ran rugby league, so he was
Green Valley
United
or something.
Rugby league, or junior rugby league. And that went on for some time. I managed, done a bit of coaching. We have the reputation of being, at that time, we even nicknamed our team the Easy Beats. Long before the Easy Beats came out, that's a rock group. And we won the comp after 2 years. We never won a game, and we won the comp the following year. So it's the third year proved successful or fruitful, you know. So we got a bit of reputation from that, you know, and then my other son played soccer.
Can I just stop you there and explore a bit more of that? Who were some of the teams you played, and where did you play football?
Mostly down at Lander Park. Some in at... what's the park at Liverpool? What's the football park at Liverpool, Tish?
Yeah, I know that one. Near the pool.
Where the one they just sold at Canterbury Banks down.
Right. Is that, that area. Near the pool, isn't
that's,
it?
Yeah, that's Woodwood. It. Woodwood Park. Yeah. Woodwood Park. They were the main game, but mostly we played within the valley area, you know, what we call the valley area. Stedden Park, there's all different names, you know. Long time ago.
Yeah, it is a long time ago. What colour were the uniforms and how did you get them?
Green and white. I don't know how they got them. That actually started before I came here. Well, they'd been going like Cartwright, Sadlier. Those suburbs were formed before we got here, and we formed Busby, or our people coming here formed Busby. But we still played as United, which was the Valley United. You know, then you had Ashcroft teams. We had Busby teams. Some played for Busby, which was up at Lander Park up the top up here. Whitland Park, I'm sorry, up the top. There was four fields up there on the back of Busby School, and as you probably know yourself in here. And we used to play up there as well. Oh, we didn't have a bad sort of a time. We weren't wasn't the top team at all, but although we did think so at the time. We got some laughs out of it. It was good fun. Met some people. Lots of people.
Good people.
Yeah.
So, was it big competition?
Oh, it was a junior. It was only junior. Only junior football. Probably about possibly 8 or 10 clubs combined, you know, in this area. I think we come under the Parramatta Rugby League in those days. Which sometimes you'd have to travel, and that became a bit of a problem if you didn't have wheels, you know. You might have to travel, like, over to Smithfield or Fairfield or places like that. As they grew up and their teams got into bigger divisions, you'd have more travelling to do, you know.
We had a station wagon.
Kids, we used to pile in that station wagon just to go to training alone, you know.
But you'd have the whole team in the station wagon.
Yeah.
You know, to just
to take them training and
just
things like that.
To take them to the games and that. Yeah. You'd have a whole team in one car, in one station wagon, piled on top of each other. My God, I'd hate to see you do it these days.
But we still see a lot of the kids, they're grown people today, you know, with their own families, and we still see a lot of them. And the thing I liked about it all was that no matter where you see them, they talk, hello, Mr. King, hello, Mrs. King, and there's something that's missing today in today's way of life. You know, that today the kids would call me Ray or Pop or something like that. And it's one thing about these kids that in those days, even today, they still call you Mr. King, or unless they're really close to you, they'd call you Ray. You know?
Well,
that's the part I miss of it.
Yes. So what was your involvement with soccer?
Well, mainly only as a parent in soccer. One of my boys played soccer for about two or three years.
Play soccer in the morning and race down to whatever this park is on the corner of Maxwell Avenue, and he'd play football. He played both. He loved his sport, young Greg did, and he was good at it.
Yeah. Of all the kids, I suppose, outside of this grandson, he shows the most potential. The oldest bloke, he was big.
He hated.
And I don't think he enjoyed it all that much, you know what I mean?
He's more an academic.
I think he became more intellectual, you know, and keen to study. And as he got older, he became more in the study act, you know, uni and stuff like that, you know, isn't he?
Let's explore your kids for a minute. What they're doing now and where they're living. So that eldest son, what's his?
David.
It's David.
David, yes.
Yeah, he's the oldest boy. He's 42.
David was the most ghastly child.
He couldn't add two figures together, but he could write you an essay a mile and a half long, you know, 10 pages essay without any problem. He went to Miller High as a high school, because when David first started high school, there was no Busby High in those days, and so he was sent to Miller. And so he did his schooling at Miller. I constantly got letters home. David was away. In those days I worked, so I didn't sort of know what was going on, because, and I'd constantly get letters home. Why was David absent? And out of the 13 weeks of a term, he'd been absent 5, you know, and all this sort of thing. So consequently, when David was due to finish school, we got a letter home to say David will not be promoted to fourth form, because he didn't attend school long enough. And then he laid at home for 12 solid months. And he had an afro hairdo. Dreadful afros when they were all in.
Remember?
Yes, I remember.
And spent 90% of his time in the bath washing his hair. I don't think it ever had a comb in it.
I don't know if I'd know him. I mean, great memory for faces, so I might, you know.
Oh,
you often do, you know.
Mm. But then, all of a sudden, he decided to get off his rear end. Oh, he
ran into a girl.
No. He got off his rear end and got a job at McDonald's up in Elizabeth Drive. And there he met this girl. Her name was Anna Filippi. And Anna was a student teacher. She was going to uni doing teaching. Anyway, that was the making of David. Then he went to Ryde Horticultural. He bought himself a little mini. Money he'd saved, and bought himself this little mini. And then he went to Ryde Horticultural and did his horticultural physio, worked at various places, and he and Anna got married when David was 21.
Without.
And he's never looked back since. He works now at Kensington, New South Wales, in the planning department.
15 years or something.
He works in the planning department at the New South Wales Uni, and he's done quite well. He lives at North Rocks. He's got two kids, a girl 13 and a boy 11.
Who both go to King's.
The boys go to King's, and the girl goes to Tara.
Or cerebral.
It's all bookworms.
Yeah.
They've gone from dum-dums to bookworms.
But once David met Anna... I adore Anna, because she made my David. David went back to school, got his leaving certificate, then went further on, and he got his BA.
Bachelor of Science.
And, you know, various other things. I think it's David's 42 now, and I think it's only the last 2 years that he hasn't gone to school.
Since. So, couldn't get him to school before he was 18.
So I'm very proud of David and Anna, and I adore Anna. And my second son, Greg got into a bit of strife when he was 16, and he got a girl in problems and all the rest of it. So at 16 they had this little...
It's the 90s.
Yeah, this is the 90s now, but back then it was terrible.
So tell me about that back then. Was there shame around it? Or...
Oh, yes. I've never, ever been a drinker, but after work on a Friday all the girls used to... Because we were all working in those days, you know, and we'd sort of... When the kids were little, we were in and out of each other's places, and we all knew each other and all the rest of it. And then when we all started work, we we decided that we'd meet down at the Valley Pub on a Friday evening after work. So we used to call in there and we'd all sit around a table, and, probably 20-odd of us and that. And everybody knew that Dawn was pregnant except me. I had no clue. God, I was naive in those days. And
you're still going to school.
Yeah, they were still school, both of them. And poor old Dawny was pregnant. At any rate, in the January, when Greg was 16, so what was that? When was he born? 58. No, we were married in 54. We were married in 53. David was born in 55. Greg was born in 57. 73, I think. Well, in January in 74, their daughter was born, Janine. Greg had left school at 16. Anyway, Dawn stayed at home with her mother up in Maxwell Avenue. And Greg went out and got himself an apprenticeship at Westinghouse. And he did his electrician apprenticeship. And then they got married when Greg was 21. Dawn was 21 as well. They got married. And they've been together ever since. They've now got a daughter, 24, and another daughter. They had another little girl who was born the year after they were married. And she only lived for 19 months. She was born with brain damage. And unfortunately, she only lived for 19 months. But then they had another little girl a couple of years later, and she's adorable. She goes to St. Mary's at Campbelltown. And their daughter, Janine, lives at Central Coast, Greenpoint. And she and her boyfriend built a beautiful home up there, and they're being married on the 31st of October. So I'm very proud of them too, and I'm very, very lucky with my daughter-in-laws. And then I've got Cheryl. Cheryl's a single mum. She's got a little boy who's 6, and she lives down in Cartwright. She had a pretty tough time of it for a while, but she's all right. She's doing all right. She's okay. And then I've got John. John's a bit of a bugger, but he's doing all right.
What does John do?
Bit of this, bit of that. He was a bit of a rebel. He didn't do very well at school, and the other three were A students. They were all very good at school. And but poor old John, I don't know, I think he was behind the door when the brains were handled. Actually,
really.
With all this business of what's going on now, I'd say that John was an ADD kid. And
this is one of the points. So
and in those days it was never picked up,
no.
Never diagnosed or anything. And
now they pick it up pretty smart, you know. Start breathing, they
so
tell you something's wrong.
John does a bit of this and a bit of that, works when he can, doesn't, but he lives on his own. He's got a flat at Warwick Farm, so he's all right.
At the moment, he is.
In those days, you were a brick.
Yeah.
So we might focus a bit on the Green Valley Hotel and what's, and I'm aware that you run the golf club there, but do you want to talk about the
how it involved?
Yeah, talk a bit about how it involved.
Well, when we used to travel in the town back in the early 60s, 63, 64, 65, you'd be backwards and forwards in the train, you'd get out and you'd come to the nearest pub, which was Liverpool Hotel. And most of the valley people either drank in the Liverpool pub or the one around the hotel at the railway at Liverpool. Or they come up here to the... no, that wasn't open then. No. Anyhow, they'd meet there, and you got to meet these various people who lived in the area, or they lived here. You'd either get a lift for home with them, or you'd get the bus home, or the police would bring you home, whichever came first. And for recreation, I didn't mind playing a bit of golf when I was a young fella. I decided I'd join this golf club, which was called the Liverpool Hotel Golf Club. And I was in that for, probably 5 or 6 years. Done fairly well, won the C-grade championship, things like that. And in the by then, this pub had been built down the bottom here, the Green Valley Hotel, and a lot of them moved into that one. They started, they'd get their own cars, they get a lift here. And I thought, I might as well get into the corner club down there. That was out in the public bar. I never drank in the public bar. Not because I'm a prude or anything, but I used to drink in the saloon bar. So I sort of got around in the saloon bar, and I used to play with them, but there was 140 members in the saloon bar pub. And by the time you teed off, it was time to come home. You know, it was just too many people. We used to play at golf courses out here, about longest golf course in the world. It's now blocks of houses and whatever.
What was the name of that golf course?
The Mainline. Was recognised as one of the longest golf courses in the world at the time. We used to play out there and we'd take a keg of beer with us. The usual thing, you know, there was no licences in the club and things like that.
Did you have golf clubs? Did you have golf clubs?
Oh, yeah, we had some, yeah. Oh, what, to hit with the ball? Oh, yeah, you had your own golf clubs. Or you could hire them if you did. Yeah, I had a set. And from there I sort of moved from that one, because of the number of people involved, I wanted to get into one with not so many people. So in 1968, they formed this golf club in the public bar, which was called the... I've been in the saloon bar one.
Oh.
I'm now in the public bar one, which is the corner club. It's a little place in the corner. They had the board up on the wall and all that stuff. And maximum people in the club, this was the cellar, was 30 people. That was your maximum. Maybe a couple of visitors, that was the maximum. And it never grew any more to that to this day. It still exists. I'm fortunate to be the president of the last 2 or 3 years. We have a captain, Fred Taylor, who's been on it since the day one, been on the committee, and still on the committee. He's the secretary at this stage.
Where does Fred live?
Fred lives up in the back up here, opposite where you used to live. Lamani, the little one on the side. And we go all over the place, the various... courses around. I can get a list of them out if you like to see them. That's Narellan Country Club, Camden Golf Club. We used to play at Cabramatta early in the piece. Penrith, we still play. We used to play at Wallachia, which we don't now because of the travel, and we try to keep it all as close as we can. We go on a weekend away every year for the last 24 or 25 years. We have a weekend away with just the blokes in a bus. We go to some area like Yass, Bathurst, as your dad would know about, Cowra, heaps of places, and you meet more people, you know, and it's been great, terrific. And this is the contact that I still have today with these people. We've lost a few, they've died, they've moved out into other areas as their family have grown up, they've sold out. But they still come back, or we try to visit them when we travel up that way, or down that way, or across that way, whichever they go. And it's been great. The comradeship is terrific. Even the women like us to go and play, which is something good. We're not in the pub.
We live in the day.
Yeah.
Thank you.
much of, other than that, I can't say much more about it. That's my side of my entertainment, you know, when I'm not coaching or being a spectator or a father or a grandfather.
Are you involved in any football at the moment?
I'm involved with on the committee of the Hinchinbrook Hornets, which is a team that was formed about 6 years ago. I'm on the committee for the last 2 years. I do the grounds, mark them out for footballs. We have anything like 9 or 10 games of football when we play up there on the weekend. So I've got to go up Friday in my retirement. This is my retirement pastime. On the Friday, I go up and get the field ready, mark and mow the lawn around the where the markers go around the field, so that you can mark them and see them after, you know. And clean up after the footballers go home. And clean up the toilets and all the rest of it and get it all ready for next week, the following week, or whatever.
And is that volunteer?
All voluntary work, yeah. All voluntary work. And my grandson plays, and he's going to be the champion of the future.
He's going to be the king.
Kerry Packer wanted to come and see him, and we told him, no, we don't want to spoil him.
You're sheltering him until...
We're sheltering him until he...
he's
already got a nickname. They call him Wendell Sailor. And he's had that for 2 years, and he's only 6 now. So, obviously, from that deduction, he's got to be a bit of a runner. And he is. He can run.
You sound very proud.
I am.
Talk to me about the mood of the Green Valley Hotel in the early... Were you drinking it... When was the Green Valley Hotel built?
Well, I'd say it was built in 1964 and opened in 64, 65.
Now, there's some discrepancy here.
The hotel opened before the shopping centre, and the shopping centre opened 12 months after we were here, and we were here Christmas time, 63. So I reckon the shopping centre opened in Christmas time, 64, and the hotel opened prior to that. Ray reckons it's Anzac Day.
Anzac Day. Tuesday.
So I can't see that because that was only 6 months after we got here. I know, but I know most of us said we hated it.
Well, I still think it's 65.
We'll never see our husbands, you know. The pub's down there. There's nothing else down there but the pub's down there. But
no car lot or anything like that. You just park up where the flats are now, you know, up the side of the embankment of the creek. That's where you used to park your car or whatever you were riding at the time, a horse.
Well,
whatever you have to come to, push bike.
John Wayne fetish now.
Yeah.
And of course, one of the great things of the place was the Opera House. We used to call it the Opera House, which was a police station.
Oh yeah, that was a little box.
It was about the size of 4 phone booths, as the boxes as we know them in the old days, the red phone boxes. About 4 sizes of that, and that was it. Was parked right on the corner where you come into the pub, and the first thing you'd see was Constable so-and-so or whatever hanging out the door or walking down the stairs in this box. And it was really a sight. Really a sight it was.
Yes, it was quite an unusual building, wasn't it?
Oh.
Brown.
Brown.
Well, they've never built anything on that particular corner since. Maybe it's because nothing will grow there.
They quite replace it.
Or they're not game to put anything else there.
Do you remember
in case the memories lingers on, you know? And
do you have any memory of when the police station was burnt down? And perhaps who was
Dear, oh dear. I don't actually remember. It wouldn't take long to burn because there wasn't much of it. Right? And even the new one, which was up opposite the shopping centre in its first days. I think it was burnt down a couple of times too, or near it. And it wasn't very big either. It's, you know, like, and I used to pity them, actually. You know, they trying to, well, you couldn't get away from them because there wasn't enough room to move, you know. But all in all, I think they've really done a good job here, myself, you know.
How's the pub as a meeting place? Let's get back to the pub. Let's talk about your first memories of the pub.
Besides drinking, if you wanted anything, yeah, you could buy it. You could buy anything at all. It either fell off a truck, or they'd get the truck to crash and it'd land there. If you had the colour of money, you could buy it. Literally the same as what it used to be in town. If you wanted something, you'd go to the pub and get it. And it's never changed. That feeling and that, what would you call it, that condition went with the pub, you know. And I still believe, although I haven't had a drink in the pub for the last 8 years, I still believe that this condition still exists, but it's much more undercover today, you know. The pub is more modern, still run by the same publican.
He wasn't original.
No, there was only a couple of publicans prior to him. He was the third.
Yeah, that was,
what's his name again?
Teddy Bates. He's been there since then. And I can't think of the first bait. Who was it? Teddy West, yeah, that's right.
Was he the first publican?
He was the first publican, Teddy West.
He moved to Cogra.
He was a very straight-laced, collar and tie sort of a bloke, you know, but a good businessman, obviously. In those days, things were...
He ran a tight ship.
Oh, yeah, he ran a tight ship. It ended up killing him. I mean, he lost his wife and, you know, he got out of the game, but it ended up killing him. But the fella that's there now, he looks like a publican. He's big as the side of a pub and, you know.
How often did you used to drink there in those early
days? Oh, every day bar Sunday. Every day bar Sunday. Never drunk there Sunday.
So you go there after work?
After work, yeah.
And how long would you spend at the pub?
Well, if I didn't work back, which I'd used to work back 2 or 3 times a week, and Saturday morning, I was known as the Saturday morning overtime king. I'd spend 4 to 5 hours, I suppose, every day in the pub.
And how busy was it?
Packed.
Always.
Most
but you didn't have the clubs in those days.
You
like
didn't
you
have the
now.
Clubs and I don't know when did late beer drinking come in.
I don't know.
I can't remember them things.
But us women hated that. God.
Well, then I was never one. I used to get to about 6 o'clock or 6:30, 7 o'clock, and that'd be enough. Very seldom did I go much past that, because mainly I couldn't stand up.
So how did you get home?
Well, I'm very, very fortunate that I don't live very far from the pub. And even if I took my car, I'd leave the car and go back for it the next day. And even sometimes I'd lose it. I'd go down and I'd have to walk around the place looking for the car where it was. I wasn't quite sure where it was.
What did you do down the pub? I mean, you drank. What did you talk about? What sort of... Did you have your own group of people?
You drank in groups, yeah. Yeah. You'd talk about them or their women or... You didn't talk much about women, but races, football, stuff like that. General talk.
Was there much trouble down the pub? Were there fights?
Not really. I spent many years drinking in the pub, and until later, where the younger people started to, like...
Invade on your territory?
Well, yeah. And the non-worker type people, you know. Like, in my days, everybody worked. Back in the early days, the jobs were there where they went and got the jobs, you know. Then they used to come to the pub and then walk from there home, in most cases. And the pub is well situated for generally in this area, you know. Like, it's, you could almost say it's the centre of the place, in the Green Valley area.
And had a lounge where the ladies used to sit occasionally, some of the ones.
It's changed.
It's changed with the clubs.
You used to go down there on a Friday night, did you?
Yeah.
Friday night. Around what period was that again?
Oh, 70s. Early 70s.
Was that in the ladies' lounge?
Yes, you used to go in the lounge.
Talk to me about that, like, the people segregated, which was quite normal, I'm aware, in that.
Oh,
thing.
Yes. The women didn't drink in the women bar. Didn't go in the bar.
In the saloon bar.
Never go in the bar. I don't think I ever went in the bar.
What did you drink?
Schooners. Beer.
Yeah.
Never drank a
beer. What type of beer, just out of interest?
Oh, Rhesus, yeah.
And I used to have about 2 inches of beer and lemonade, and three of them, and I was at it. Yeah.
And so, can you remember some of the women?
Oh, gosh. Miriam Rickard, Mary Dury, Val Dunn,
Pat
Matthews,
what's her name?
Pat Matthews? Pitt.
Durovich.
Oh, yeah. Joyce Durovich. Oh, gosh, I've forgotten a lot of them.
Do you ever remember Trixie Kennedy?
No, I don't know her.
Who was that?
Trixie Kennedy.
Jan.
Trixie
and Shirley. Oh, they used to have blues in the middle of the road.
Yeah, tell me about
that.
Oh.
No, don't.
No, I mean, because I'm actually going to track Trixie down.
Are you?
Yeah.
Are you?
Mm.
Oh, I don't know. One of them died, I think. I think one of them. That fight at the drop of a hat. Yeah.
What were their names again? There was Trixie Kennedy.
Trixie and Shirley.
Was she Kennedy too?
No, I don't think it was. No, they weren't related. Well, they might have been their sisters in crime. That'd be the only relation.
What about that Horton name?
Viva Horton, there's another one too, and it's quite notorious.
Oh, she's colourful.
When I first come here, that other golf course club I was talking about, her husband, Ronnie Horton, who's since passed on.
He passed on earlier.
Yeah. But he was involved in that particular golf club, and I met this Viva, which is his wife. And she had kids like that, you know, stepping stone sort of thing.
And she's taken to the pub.
And she was that big, that thin, and she could drink the men under the table. And this other one, Shirley and Trixie, could drink two men under the table and have a fight at the same time. They'd be blowing about, you looked at my bloke or something like this. Anything at all, the drop of a hat, they'd be into it. Out in the middle of the street, so they wouldn't make any mess, you know. Rip their clothes off from each other, you know, fight each other. Oh, the blokes are standing out there cheering them on. From the side, cheering them on.
Disgusting.
Some of the things.
Compared to some of the things. But Ray, you haven't got that on, have you?
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I don't touch beer now, and you say that back in those days we were drunks.
Yes.
We may have been drunks at the time, but then what else was left other than working, feeding your kids, go to work, feed your kids, row with your wife.
Very stressful.
Very, yeah. In today, you can come home and put yourself in a room, turn your telly on and watch all the ads you want and do what you like, you know. But in those days, if you didn't make entertainment, you were lost. Like in the years coming on, they formed a club up here and we used to go up there and we'd meet at the club. With the wives and the husbands would have a night out at the club. And they were good fun, weren't they, those days? I'm talking about the Mounties, they opened, you know. Never had a meeting in the pub. I've never been one for taking a woman into a pub. That's just my particular way of life, you know. I'd go there myself, naturally. But even to the stage where you... I think it's a relief valve, you know. And as you get older... It's my opinion that as I get older,
get more sense.
I find I don't need the relief valve to that extent, you know. And I found that was a relief from working, travelling, trying to raise kids, send them to school, things like that. You may not have been involved directly, but always indirectly you're involved with it, you know. And it was dead set a relief valve, as far as I was concerned. And I think it's still a relief valve for people.
So how do you feel about the Green Valley community over the years? What changes? I mean, we know it's changed, but maybe you get your feelings around why you stay here.
Well, I wouldn't swap it for anything. If I won $1 million, I'd still live here. I might do some more things, you know, make it more secure, although we've been very lucky and fortunate. We've only had a couple of burglaries, you know. And even then, they were doubtful ones. They were probably, you know, in a lot of cases, I think. But I would not move from here. You couldn't move me, you know. Unless I possibly had a win in the big place up in the north, or I don't think I'd move. No, I'd do it all again. It's your turn.
What? No, I'm quite happy here. I wouldn't move. I wouldn't move. You cut me out of here in a box.
I feel it's been a grand final, and okay, we've had a few hiccups with the kids over the years, which I feel it's a part of growing up anyhow. I feel it's been a grand final as far as I'm concerned. You know? And come and see me in 2020, and I'll say the same thing, if I'm still around. Hey, what's that make me?
Too old.
Oh, no, I'm still under 100.
This is a continuation at Letting and Raise on the same day, and a neighbour has called down. So, can I get your full name?
Mary Dury.
And your date of birth and place of birth.
Oh, the 3rd of July 1935 at Paddington.
And
sounds a long time ago, doesn't it?
You married?
Yes.
Your husband's still with us?
Oh, yes, he's asleep at the moment. He's a night worker.
So what's his full name and date of birth?
Raymond Dury. 31st of the 8th, 34. And he was born at Paddington.
So can I ask when you first moved to Green Valley?
We moved here in November 1963.
And you live at?
8 Hereford Street. And we've been here for 35 years this year.
And did you buy a home or do you rent it?
No, I bought it, yes. Which was a bargain.
Bargain basement?
Bargain basement, yes.
What are your earliest memories of Green Valley? How your first impression?
Well, when we first moved in here, it was only this side of the street that was built. From here over was all paddock. And the only school within this area was Miller Primary. And our children had to go to Miller Primary because there was no school at Busby. My first impressions, no street lights, cows wandering up and down the street. Yes, and when we moved in, it rained solidly for a week.
You must have moved in on the same day, did you? Basically,
yes. Rained solidly for a full week.
No, that was after John was born. That was the day I brought John home from the hospital.
Well, I know it rained solidly for a week. We couldn't go down the backyard and we couldn't go out the front yard. And the nearest bus stop was in Bobbin Road. And in those days, nobody had a car, so everybody had to walk to the nearest bus stop. And all our shopping was done in Liverpool. All medical things were in Liverpool. Everything was in Liverpool. So consequently, we call ourselves the pioneers. And we do, don't we? Yes.
Remember, we used to have to write out our shopping list and give them to the
bakery. And yes, and there used to be a van come around with groceries on it. And if you ran out of anything, you ran out to this van. He used to beep his horn. And, like, I can't remember how much a pound of sugar was in those days, but to buy it off him, it was double. So, consequently, you tried to buy all your groceries in Liverpool, which was very hard because we had no cars. And I was pregnant. Letty had already had John. And to go shopping was something you don't forget. But we managed. We got there.
Do you know, can you remember when Miller Shopping Centre opened?
12 months after we were here. And it was quite a festive occasion, wasn't it? Mm. They had bargains. I can remember they had sugar for $1 a pound.
No, no, no.
Yes? Ten cents. It was 10 cents because decimal...
Shilling a pound.
Shilling a pound. Because decimal currency never came into 66, did it? And we didn't have many shops then. We had Woolworths... was in the front, which was both. It was a variety store plus the
groceries.
We had two butcher shops, almost side by side.
Yes, we had two butcher shops. Two fruit shops.
Yeah, we had one on the
Because we had Tony's and Angelo's down the other end. The cake shop was there, which was Patterson's, and used to make the most beautiful cakes. Yes.
What sort of cakes did you buy from Patterson's? Can you remember?
Chocolate cake. Chocolate cake.
I don't think any of us bought very
And there cakes. Was the Chinese shop with Mr. and Mrs. Moyes, who were there how many years?
Oh, I'm doing
25 years?
Liverpool, didn't they?
No, they sold out and they live at Ingleburn now. They don't do anything.
No, they went to
Did they go to Liverpool? Oh. I didn't think they did.
They had the both shops. They had another one called Gems or something
Gems.
In Liverpool.
Oh, did you? Oh. What else was there? And the Commonwealth Bank was around where Kentucky Fried Chicken was. And there was a hardware store next to Kentucky, yes. That was just one big shop there. And then there was Gems and always the milk bar on the corner.
Always.
Mm. But others. Still is. Yes, still is. And there was a few variety stores then too, wasn't there?
Yeah.
But I can't remember
what they were. What sort of things did they sell those variety stores to?
Well, there used to be a haberdashery shop, didn't there?
Yeah.
It was a haberdashery because you could get material and wool and cottons and all that type of thing. What was there after that? And the chemist. There was always a chemist there.
Yeah.
There was also a chemist round next to where the milk bar is.
And Woolworths, you used to get everything at Woolworths because they had everything.
Yes, they had everything. Yes, they were a variety plus
they
the
were
grocery,
a great
store. Fruit store, butchers.
Can you describe Woolworths to me? Like you were talking about the packaging. Like how did you take your groceries?
Well, in those days there was no plastic bags. We used to have big brown bags, like you see in American films, what they carry their groceries in. A lot less pollution too. Yes, always,
yeah,
yes.
Handles, yeah.
Yeah.
And how did you used to shop? How did you carry it home yourself?
You carry it.
Carry it home ourselves. Now, I must admit, I still have my shopping trolley that I still take down the street. Mm.
What do you remember? It was quite a centre of activity at the shopping centre.
Oh, yes. Because we were out here, and other than the bus to Liverpool, you know...
That was it.
That was our social life, besides the children being in the sports clubs.
So
and the scouts. What else was there?
Halfway
the scouts.
Shops, that was it.
Yeah. And that was another thing that was started up around here, the scouts. What was the name? Crossing Hams. They used to run the scouts and the... I don't know who ran the girl guides, I can't remember.
We attempted to get a police boys club going. Money's still in the bank, I believe. Something
the
to the tune
is,
of about $200,000 or something is in.
What about Green Valley RSL?
Well, the same thing. That was another.
That was another project that was started up. Never heard. We all joined it, but nobody ever heard what happened to it.
How long ago was that talk about?
Oh, it'd be 30 years ago, wouldn't it?
Prior to the Catholic Club being formed.
Yes. Now it would have been
which eventually
25?
Got away.
Yes, 25 years ago. So.
The RSL that
never ever came to fruition, did it?
No. Bit of skullduggery in that.
So tell me about your experience of the valley. How do you feel about the valley?
I love it. I'm like Letty. You know, my husband retires next year. We own our own home. And we wouldn't think about moving simply because all our friends are here. And why would you move when economically we're far better off by staying here? Mm-hmm. Except that when we first came here, there was a, what could I say, an undesirable element used to live here when we first came here. Well, after about 2 to 3 years, they were all gone and it settled down to a really nice suburb. Well, over that 30 years, now we've got the element back again.
But slightly.
Just slightly. But in those days, there wasn't any drugs like there is now. You know, they were just bad elements.
Yeah.
Mm. But I can't see anybody faulting it as far as compared to other areas. Like, people compare this to Campbelltown now, like Claymore and Ayres and everything like that. It's nothing like that. No, totally different altogether. Simply because we used to do courier work and we have been up around that area, and this is by far better, and it was never ever like it is up there now.
What do you do for work? What did you do for work when you arrived here?
What did we do? Well, I was, we all only had young children, so not many of us worked. And then Letty got a job at Kirby's.
Betts.
And I used to mind her son. And then when my daughter and her son were the same age, they went to school, Letty got me a job at Betts, and I went to do office work, which I had always done, and went to work there with Letty at Betts. And then after that, I left there, I went into retail and worked for an old Liverpool company that's no longer in existence, which was called Countdown, which originally started down here in Miller Shopping Centre. It was known in those days as Hammersmith's. I was just trying to think of the other shops that were down there. I know there, what else other shop. There was a dry cleaners down there.
That's right.
Hmm. Besides the news agency, and the State Bank was around the other corner before they rebuilt this, because they rebuilt this shopping centre.
Yes, I know.
And there used to be a Tab and a Rural Bank. What was the other one?
There was a shoe shop, was there?
Mm. Yeah, Vince lives.
Vince Stewart?
Vince Stewart, well, he lives at Thoreau. He's got a store in the centre down there. That's someone else you should see for old history. Remember the lady that used to work for him? She does the housey. What's her name? Her daughter runs the housey.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. She lives in Linley Street.
Anyway, you'll remember that and jot it down for me.
I know, I'm terrible with names. I've got to think for hours because she asks me sometimes which is something and then it annoys me for the rest of the day. No, it's not. No, I'm trying to think of someone else.
What were some of the general problems you feel back then for everybody? What were some of the
money?
The negative aspects of
living? Well, negative, yes, because in those days the wages weren't very good and, like, we all had young children. And we used to... Surviving, yes. We used to rob Peter to pay Paul, you know, especially if someone got sick and, you know, you had to have a lot of medicine and things like that, and the electric light bill would come in and you'd think, oh, well, the medicine's more important, the electric light bill will have to wait. Because in those days, that was another thing. We never had any telephones. Nobody had the phone on at home.
Bob and Road.
The nearest phone was Bob and Road. Because I remember my son got very sick. And we had to race to Bobbin Road to ring up a doctor. And he was a locum at the time. And he came out. And my son had to be rushed by ambulance to the children's hospital from here. And we had a police escort all the way down. So in those days...
In those days, the police would do things like that.
It was quite a drama, you know. And the police were wonderful, you know. And I often think, you know, if it wasn't for them, he wouldn't be here now. So... But that's basically what it was too, because Liverpool Hospital was a lot smaller than what it is now, And the big bridge hadn't been built when we moved here. It was the old wooden structure.
One way.
Had
to wait on one side. The lights change and you come over the other way.
We didn't have lights, right?
No, they had a thing to stop, you know, stop.
Yeah, we had a stop light.
Stop, go.
Yeah, stop, go. Yeah, Cartwright Bridge wasn't there. No, Cartwright Bridge wasn't there. And Canterbury Road was just two-way, one way there and one way back. That's right. And another thing, most of the people that had moved up here all had jobs down around the city. Because where did you work at, Ray? You were...
Oh, Ray worked at Standard Wagon, way down... Waterloo.
Waterloo, which they all had to go by public transport. My husband worked at Marrickville. And then he got the pet van.
Yes. Then they started travelling.
Yes.
How did you feel about the media? The terminology they used to...
Dodge City,
they used to call it. How did you feel about that?
I used to get irate. And as I always say, there used to be more money in Green Valley, because all the people were hardworking, than what there was over the North Shore. Because I used to do relief work at a shop at St Ives, and one of the taxi drivers told me that he would much rather people from the western suburbs who paid the bills than the people that lived in St Ives, which he called Tinsel City, because they all lived on credit cards.
Even in those days, we never heard of credit cards.
It was all cash.
Cash. Yeah. If you didn't have the cash, you did without.
Which was right.
Except for Wharton's.
Yes.
Well, and what was the name of that other, the white goods place that went bust?
Coal Buckins,
yeah. Everybody Coal had Buckins. Their fridges from them.
Coal Buckins, it used to be a white goods shop at the top end of Liverpool, which was a very good shop.
Mm.
Which is a very good shop.
Did you come here with much furniture? And how did you...
Well, when we moved in, we had all our furniture, which was very fortunate.
Why was that? Did you have some money?
No, I was just one of the... I was just one of those people that was...
Very good handler with money.
Very frugal, as my husband says, you know. But... I'll give you a little antidote. I was pregnant at the time, and we had ordered our blinds, our Venetian blinds, right? And not having a lot of sheets in those days, you know, you don't have linen like you do when you get older with all the children going away. I had sheets up the front windows and everything. And in my bedroom, seeing that I was pregnant, I didn't have to wear my dresses and everything, so I had them hanging up at the window for blinds, and I didn't have to take them down until the Venetian ones were installed, which was very good. Yes. So
you had your furniture. Could you describe your furniture? Can you recall what you... When you say you had all your furniture?
Well, I'll tell you another little antidote. When we moved in, and the week that it rained, we had our floors... sanded and polished the day before it started raining.
That is a tragedy.
Right, which was the front end of the house. Fortunately, we had a flat at Dulwich Hill, and all the lino out of our flat went through to our bedrooms. We had that all down on the floor. We didn't have carpet in those days. And it was all sanded and polished, and it rained for a week, and I'll never forget it. And also that same day, we had our front and back lawn yard rotary hoed the same day. So,
and it was just clay.
It was just pure clay. And fortunately in those days, my father-in-law worked for a building firm. So when it stopped raining, they dug a pathway down to my rotary clothesline and put a path in all the way to the rotary clothesline. I'll never forget it.
How did you feel? Were you in tears? How did you feel?
I wore for 12 months.
No, I didn't. Letty was one of those ladies. Look, I'll tell you another story. This is a little antidote. There used to be a lady that lived in the four-bedroom house up there. Her name was Kath Jurevich, right? And us three ladies, Letty had this old door. She didn't have a garage at the time. She had this old door. And my husband had made me a long 4-foot table in front of our lounge. Right? And as a family project, we covered it in matches.
A family project?
Yes, we used
to. Something to do?
Yes, yes, we had this family project. We made cover this table in matches. The children had learned to do it at school, right?
Is that when you the kids were making things with
yes,
matches?
Yes, yes.
Right. Yeah, well, there's a table over there that's
yes.
a match one of Greg's. Oh, I see.
And there was Kath, Letty and I this day decided to make a table. The same as mine.
And we had three bottles of beer.
And we had three bottles of beer.
This is stupid. Well, going on your reputation, you would have been legless.
She was. She was. Yes, I must tell you. And none of us drank. None of us drank. And we decided to make this table. Right. We went up and measured my table. It was in the lounge room.
Oh, God.
And, like, I must admit, we'd never made anything in our life, the three of us. We got this table, we got my husband's saw, and we sawed this table, measured it all up, and then I could remember my husband making these legs out of some timber, so we got some old timber out of Letty's backyard.
No, we cut off the legs of Cheryl's...
Oh, it was Cheryl's bed.
Cheryl's bed.
Well, that's right, we didn't have any legs, so we cut the legs off Cheryl's bed and we nailed it to the bottom of this table, right? We covered it in contact. But in the meantime, we had three bottles of beer. And that night, when our husbands all got home, us three ladies were very, very merry because we didn't drink
we
in those
were drunk.
It's only about 12 months ago that I threw the table out.
And the table lasted 20. Yes, the table lasted 30 years.
Over 30 years old,
and I had pot plants sitting on it.
Out the front, yeah.
So that's the type of thing we used to do.
Yeah.
Fill your time in. And the kids built this or that thing there, that's old as a grave.
Because in those days...
I refused to get rid of that.
There was no... We didn't go to work in those days, you know. And when we finally did go to work, you know...
We lost contact. We started going down the pub on a Friday night.
Yes, we used to go to the pub on a Friday night. Oh, God, man. Yes, and ladies could go and have a beer in those days.
But we weren't allowed in the bar.
What about one of your parties at home?
Oh, God, Kester.
First publican.
Okay, so talking about Ted West, the first publican.
Well, my memories of him, I knew him as a child. He was a barber at Dolls Point. And he used to cut my hair as a child. He used to come to your home and cut your hair. And it used to be 20 cents to get your hair cut, which was two bob in those days. And then when we moved up here and the hotel was built, we met Ted again, who was the first publican of Green Valley Hotel. He became a publican when he came back from the war. And a very nice man. And so was his wife, whose name I cannot remember at the moment.
You just mentioned you worked in a fruit shop. Can you talk... What fruit shop was that? Was that the shop?
Oh. It was Tony's fruit shop next to the butcher's...
At Miller Shopping Centre.
And the women that used to frequent the hotel used to come and get their vegetables and used to get us to peel the pumpkin for them and cut it up into... edible size so that when they got home they wouldn't have to worry about cutting it up after they'd had a few refreshments at the hotel. And
you provided that service.
We provided that service. And you would be working away in the fruit shop and they'd say, the police are at the hotel. And everybody used to nick down and have a little look. You could do those sort of things in those days. And there used to be a brick fence along there, and the women used to sit there with their prams, with the children in it, having a beer. And every so often the police wagon would arrive and arrest them all and take them away so they wouldn't sit on the wall, because it was still considered hotel premises on that wall.
So the fruit, how long were you at the fruit shop? What sort of things did you see working at the shops?
I used to know all of the local thieves. Oh, just
the
ordinary.
They only worked there part time.
Yes, only worked there part time. But you just used to see, you know, different things.
And what was the quality of the fruit and veg like in those days?
Very good and very cheap. Better than Woolworths, let's put it that way. Because there wasn't the refrigeration in those days like there is now. And it used to be fresh every day, you know, and very reasonable. And we used to do deliveries around, which was a lot of people used to get their vegetables delivered simply because you didn't have a car. Yes. And the delivery used to be free.
How did the fruit and veg arrive, did you see?
Well, Tony, the owner, used to go to the markets every day and get his fresh fruit and vegetables, which was still down at the city markets, not like at Homebush now. It was still the city markets, near Paddy's.
What was the colour of the floor in the shopping centre? It was like a cement floor, wasn't it? Like a green floor, or was there a...
No, it was tiled.
Was it tiled?
It was tiled,
yeah.
Yes, but I can't remember the colour. No, I can't.
Do you remember Pick-A-Prize? Down at the shops.
Yeah, I can, now that you mention it. Who did that used to be run by?
My father used to be down there with...
That's right, with his little bag. All the money. Yes, yeah. 20 cents a go. Yes, and the biggest prize was
$5.
So was it 5 cents? I thought it was 20 cents.
Might have gone up, but I think it was originally. Maybe he charged us.
Chocolate wheel too, wasn't it?
Chocolate wheel.
Oh yes, yes. They used to have those. Yeah, they used to have them on a Saturday morning.
Right.
They used to have those down there. I can now that you mentioned. See, people bring things back. You remember?
I don't
know if
you remember.
Don't you?
No, but then again, I never went to the shops on a Saturday morning.
You're still not a shopper.
Because I used to work all week and Saturday morning was your housekeeping day.
And after 35 years, I can't get out of the habit. I still do my housework on a Saturday. Because you did it for so many years. And now all I do is...
What do you do now? What are you involved in now in the community? How do you spend your time?
Okay. Well, I do folk art down the community centre. And then I also have my granddaughter 2 days a week. And then I have my garden and I sew and I knit and I paint and...
Walk your dog.
Walk my dog and then sit on the computer. So I keep very busy.
Do you have grandchildren?
Yes, I only have 3.